Welcome back once again to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today. Coming to you live from West Virginia University and their Data Marketing Communications program. The only program that sits squarely at the intersection of data-driven decision-making and modern marketing practice. Welcome to the show, Gina.
Thanks, Paul, so much. Welcome to today's podcast entitled Public Relations and Data, How to Use Data to Define and Refine Your Strategy. I'm your host for today, Gina Dahlia. I'm a professor here at the WVU Reed College of Media, as well as the managing director of our Media Innovation Center. Well, there's a saying among PR practitioners that all coverage is good coverage. That may have been true when media outlets could be counted on one, two hands, but today, if you aren't reaching the right audience with the right message at the right time, well, you might as well be yelling into the Grand Canyon. Data is out there, but it can be overwhelming, and a surprising number of communications departments aren't using it to define, execute, and measure if their efforts are even effective. In this podcast, we will discuss how to use data not just after a campaign, but also before one, to ensure that you are reaching the right audience to achieve your goals. And joining us today, we have a special guest with us, Joe LaMuraglia. Joe is an accomplished leader who's known for a diverse skill set that transcends traditional PR competencies and allows for true business partnerships with other functions. Joe has a history of success designing and implementing creative and strategic communications approaches that drive media coverage. He has spent the last decade in various roles in communications at General Motors, most recently running Chevrolet brand communications on the East Coast of the U.S. Joe has a BA in public relations and an MBA from the Thunderbird School of Global Management. He's also a proud member of the inaugural class of the LGBT Executive Leadership Program at Stanford University Graduate School of Business. Welcome, Joe. Well, that's quite an impressive list of accomplishments I just read off there.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Well, we appreciate you coming to us today. So let's go ahead and move on to our first question. Joe, can you tell me why the saying all coverage is good coverage is no longer accurate?
Well, I think for any one of your listeners near my age, which is 50 plus, when we grew up, there were a handful of media outlets. So generally, you could get, you got coverage on your product, and everything I'm going to talk about today is generally a consumer product coverage. We're not talking about reputational management, just generally alignment to with marketing to get awareness and drive sales. Let's just assume that. When I was younger, if you got coverage by a media outlet, there's a really good chance that your customer, your ultimate customer, is going to be reading that coverage. These days, there's so many outlets out there that you can't take that chance. That if I'm selling an organic cookie and for some chance a meat lover's website picked that up, it's not going to make any sense. Yes, we got coverage there, and they might have millions of readers, but are they the right readers?
Right, I understand. So that brings us into our next question. So how should a public relations firm or a person use data to design a PR strategy? And could you share an example with that as well?
Sure. I'll use an example of in my recent past at General Motors. We used to have people all over the country, PR practitioners all over the country. Actually, let me start over again. Broadcast strategy. We had a broadcast strategy at General Motors where we gave ourselves gold stars for all this broadcast coverage that we were getting. I did a data analysis. I looked at where we were getting coverage, and then I overlaid where we needed help from a sales perspective and where we under-indexed in our sales around the country. Well, it turned out that where all the coverage we were getting was in the middle of the country, where we were doing really, really well on sales. Where we weren't getting coverage from on broadcast, in this case, was in the Smile States, you know, California, Southeast, Southwest, and up the East Coast. So we were giving ourselves this great gold star for all this coverage we were getting, but it was in areas where it wasn't really helping move the needle. So what we did was took all that data, stood back and said, okay, working with our vendors, these are the areas we targeted, areas where we wanted coverage. Whether it was everybody wants coverage in New York, that's a huge, massive market, but Providence, Rhode Island, Boston, Massachusetts, Baltimore, Maryland, these were key target markets, working with our marketing colleagues that they needed coverage in, or we needed help in terms of sales. We went after these very specific markets instead of what I like to say, what we used to do is we sprayed and prayed, like we hoped that the right people heard us, but we used data to take a step back and really target where we wanted to be.
So what was the outcome of that strategy once you looked at it and analyzed it?
We literally, a lot changed. That data analysis changed a lot in within the company, from where we deployed our people, where we deployed our energy, essentially, and where we deployed our vendors. So we used to have public relations people in five different areas around the country. When we did this analysis, we realized, wow, okay, we're spending a lot of time and energy in places where we don't need help, in the Midwest, in Texas, et cetera. And we deployed people to the coast. So we changed literally where we were focusing. And then we worked with our vendors to, in pitching, et cetera, our energies solely went to those target markets. Our expenditures went down overall, and actually our coverage went down in raw numbers, but the right coverage went up. So we started getting hits in these smaller target markets that we knew were going to help move the needle, and did help move the needle. Instead of spending all this extra money in markets like, say, Indianapolis, I'm just throwing that out there, that where we knew we were doing well and we didn't need to spend the energy and the finances.
I think that's encouraging, because I think sometimes if you get the results, it can be intimidating knowing that you have to make so many changes. But knowing that it definitely paid off literally, I think is encouraging to our listeners out there.
Very intimidating and not easy.
I have to sell this internally.
I think you have to have convictions, and you have to know how to convince people that this is going to be a risk. And like I said, overall coverage went down, but the right coverage went up.
Okay, great. Now, you have mentioned using data to refine a PR strategy. What do you mean by that, Joe?
Well, I mean, we all know how to measure after the fact. It's literally, my world has been cars for the past decade, so that's what I always go back to. But automotive PR in general is easy. There are hundreds of people out there that write about cars. It's great. You put out a new shiny vehicle, and every person that makes their living writing about cars is pretty much going to write about it. What's hard is the next step. What do you do next after that initial coverage comes out? Because when you make a car, like I'm sitting in a Chevy Silverado right now, this car was sold, we got all kinds of coverage on it, but for 5 more years, this same vehicle is going to be out there for sale, and the company's goal is to sell them, right? Well, we've got to keep up the drumbeat. How do we do that, and where do we do it? Refining is, when I say refine, I meant when the brand new Silverado came out, we knew this 150 journalists were going to cover it. After that, how do you go after it? We worked with marketing to make sure that we knew who the target market was. You really need to start understanding the other disciplines within the function, within a company, to really refine your strategy. Because we wanted to know who the target markets were for the vehicle, where we needed help geographically. And then we went after outlets that aligned on top of those. And some of them were not what you would normally think of. Basically, outdoors, and people who love exercise in the outdoors love pickup trucks. That's kind of an easy one. We had an event and a target. There were all writers who wrote about health and well-being, women. Well, there was data out there that said about 17% of pickup truck buyers are women. No one thought to target this overlap, but we used the data to convince everybody within the company that this was a market that was untapped, and we had this amazing program. We got fantastic coverage off of it in outlets that probably would have never written about a pickup truck, exercise outlets. We did an event with CrossFit, showed how you could use the pickup in a CrossFit exercise if you couldn't go make it to your CrossFit box. And we did this event with one of the biggest CrossFitters out there, and all these writers came, and who would have never thought to write about a pickup truck, but the people who read their articles were into physical fitness, health, well-being, and thought a new way about pickup trucks because they're mostly female audience.
All right, that's fantastic. Well, this is a lot of useful information, Joe, but it's time for a short commercial break. Paul, over to you.
And just a reminder that today's program is being brought to you by West Virginia University's Online Data Marketing Communications Program, first graduate program of its kind in the country. Focusing on strategic thinking, critical problem solving, and informed decision making, the Data Marketing Communications Program at West Virginia University prepares you for your career by learning the innovative tactics from award-winning faculty and guests like today. Learn more at dmc.wvu.edu. That's the Data Marketing Communications Program at West Virginia University. Well, it sounds like you guys are talking exactly, it's like you're doing a class study here about using data to micro-target audiences. This is fascinating. Back to Gina and her guest.
Thanks, Paul. Welcome back to our podcast. If you're just tuning in, it's entitled Public Relations and Data, How to Use Data to Define and Refine Your Strategy with our special guest, Joe LaMuraglia. Joe, let's keep things moving. Let's go ahead to our next question. We often hear the saying, what gets measured gets done. How do you make sure you are measuring the right KPIs or key performance indicators?
So I guess one of the first questions I always ask when I'm working with a team or working with my superiors is, what does success look like? Going back to the first item we discussed, not all coverage makes sense, or not all coverage is good coverage. What does success look like? Having that conversation at the beginning of any campaign, leveling the playing field, making sure everybody's on the same page and understands what success looks like, then we can go after that we can go after those KPIs. And also, I like to always say that it's a conversation. There's a lot of information that everybody on the team has that can help refine and define what those KPIs are. But you have to know where you're going in order to get there.
Very good point. So how can the PR function leverage data gathered by other functions within an organization to achieve both communication function and the overall company goals? Because sadly, we know they are not always the same.
Yeah, that is actually very shocking. I've been fortunate to have worked in a couple different functions within various companies and marketing, market research, and then communications, PR. And I've always been shocked at the lack of communication between the different functions. So anybody that's in marketing or has been in the marketing function at a large company or even a medium-sized company knows that they're swimming in data. Understanding what the ultimate goal of the campaign or the company is. In my case, ultimately, we sold cars. We sold cars and trucks. If you're selling cookies, if your goal is to change the brand awareness or to brand reputation, you need to understand that. The marketing function in most companies has that pretty dead. They have a very strong target on that. My challenge is to PR colleagues is to work with the marketing colleagues to understand where they're going and what data they have, and then see what overlaps. It doesn't always overlap. They generally don't understand what we do, and a lot of times we don't understand what they do. I'm loving that you have this course, because I think there aren't enough PR practitioners out there that really understand data, that really understand marketing. And I think as we move forward, all of this is just melding together. So working with your marketing colleagues, understanding what data sets that they have, what their KPIs are, and then figure out in the Venn diagram, where's your middle? Where's the crossover? Because there's a lot of amazing information out there that you wouldn't normally know in a traditional PR practice.
Well, and I think you brought up a good point. I think that it is scary to think about data and marketing overlapping if you're new to this kind of world and how to approach it from a different angle. What advice would you give to someone who is just starting to look at their data and how it can help propel their product or their company forward?
My biggest advice is ask as many questions as you possibly can. Because there's so much data, and there are people in a large company, you're going to find somebody that their sole job is to interpret that data. Sit down with them, ask them questions. What does this mean? What do you measure? How often do you measure? Where is this data set coming from? How old is it? How do you use it? Because that's really, really important. Make friends with people in your marketing function to understand what data that they're using to make decisions to target. They're buying ads. They're in GM, they're spending millions and millions and millions of dollars purchasing advertising. They don't do that lightly. They spend a lot of time understanding where these outlets are. Doesn't it make sense for us to know that as well so we can target the similar audiences? If you're just starting your career and you're at university or in graduate school, take as many statistics, data courses, market research courses as you can to really understand that, because that's going to help you refine your PR strategy in the future, especially now that everything's just starting to merge and meld together.
Yes, I agree. And we know how students can be intimidated by numbers. So I think encouraging them to show them how much that can actually benefit them in the area of marketing is super beneficial. So, Joe, can you explain to our audience how important it is to define what success looks like before defining a strategy?
The strategy is how you're going to get to the goal. If you don't know what the goal is, then you can't really, you'll be defining the strategy in a vacuum. So literally understanding what that success looks like, asking that question at the beginning is pivotal. If you don't know what that is, like I said, you might as well be yelling into the Grand Canyon. You need to know what's expected of you, what your campaign is ultimately supposed to produce. And then knowing that, then you can define a strategy to achieve it. So without knowing where you're going, you're driving blindly, if you will, to use a car pun.
Well, I have one more question for you. So what would you say if you had to give the secret to your success in the industry, what would you like to pass on to our listeners?
Diversify as much as you possibly can. I'm unique in that I have an undergrad degree in PR and communications, but I have a master's in business, and I've had experience in multiple different functions within large auto companies. And I've learned something valuable in each one of them, whether it's market research, whether it's product planning or communications. So in order to be a true business partner, and when I say that, I mean to be taken seriously by other functions within a company, to be a business partner, to have a seat at the table helping make decisions to achieve the company goals, whether it's to sell more donuts, to sell more cars, or to increase brand awareness, you really need to have a good toolbox, a good skill set. I always joke and tell everybody, all my nieces and nephews, I have, I think, 17 of them, two things you got to come out of undergrad with that are invaluable. One is Excel. Learn as much Excel as you possibly can. And two is PowerPoint. Everything else is good, but those are the ones that if you really need to be successful. But I say that half jokingly, but it's really just ask lots of questions. Don't be afraid of numbers. Numbers are awesome. Numbers tell so many stories. I have a website and I would do something called internet ethnography. And I would just look at the data of like how people got to my website. And back then the Apple computers only had 5% of the market, but 45% of my visitors were using Apple products. That told a story. That told me when I was going out to try to sell people to advertise, if in that case, on my website, I know that I had the early adopters coming to my site. I know that these people have higher income because you can make that association. They're using that data set, that data point that I found in my Google Analytics helped tell this amazing story about my users. If I'd gone out and tried to survey them, it's a point in time. You don't really get to know everything. You can look at their behaviors, and that's data. You can look at behaviors to tell different stories. So when I'm saying data, it's just not survey results, et cetera. It's literally, there's so much out there, you know, what people are doing, where they're doing it, when they're doing it. So I guess the biggest thing I would say is just ask questions, be inquisitive, have that intellectual curiosity, because that's what's going to get you ahead and help you be a business partner to other functions within any organization.
Well, I think that's some wonderful advice to close out our podcast. Joe, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to talk to our viewers, our audience members. I'd like to thank you for coming on. I'm your host, Gina Dahlia. Thanks for joining us.
You You've been listening to another episode of WVU Marketing Communications Today, live from West Virginia University, right here on the Funnel Radio Network for at-work listeners like you.